Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara Nedarim Daf Samuch Ches. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Shmuel Yosef ben Reuven. It's his third yard site. He never was killed in a car accident near the shul. And he's the father-in-law of Steve Slomnicki, a regular listener to the shir. All the neshamos we learn for should have an aliyah from our learning. Now, we begin 7 lines down from the top. Samach Ches Omud Aleph. With the birds, Iboiluhu. Now, this shir is going to be a relatively short shir, and it's going to be really answering this one question. We're going to have the question, then we're going to have a long brisa, and at the end of the brisa, we're going to say, and here's the answer to the question. That's the whole shir today in an outline. It's a very short shir, and we begin, we pick it up, 7 lines on the top, Samach Ches Omud Aleph, with the words, Iboiluhu. They ask in the base message the following shaila. Baal Megiz Gayiz O Miklish Kolish. What does this mean? So, when the Baal, or as the Ran and the Rosh both point out, this could have been viewed in either way. It could have been when you have the husband and the father. We could have asked the question when the husband does it or when the father does it, because they work together, as we learned in yesterday, in the Shutvis. They work as a partner. When the girl is a Nara Murasa, she needs both the father and the husband together. Both of them have to be made for the nether. So whichever one goes first, how does that work? So the Gemara gives the example of the husband going first. So Baal, when the husband goes in, is made for the nether. So the father still has to be made for the nether as well. What is the status after half of it's been accomplished? So after the husband is made for the nether, what is the status of this nether? Do we say it's megiz gayiz, means it's cut in half, so to say, or do we say it's weakened, miklish kolish? What's the nafkamin over here? So you can see this inside the Ran. The Ran, in Iboiluhu, Baal megiz gayiz or miklish kolish, the two possibilities are, klobar, Orus, she'eno mefer, ela b'shutfasi, the av. We're dealing here with the Naru Murasa, and both the husband of this Naru Murasa, what's called the Orus, and the father both have to be made for the nether. So either one could have gone first, but here we're giving again the example, the Gemara gives the example of the father going second. So the husband went first, Kishamefer Chauko, when the husband is made for his chalik of the nether, he says, I don't want you to have this nether. He's made for the nether of his wife. Do we say that he has cut it in half? Megiz gayiz. Kloma, as if to say, Shechote chatzi haneder legamre. He has absolutely cut the nether into two parts. One part he was mefer, umavatlo, and that part is null and void. V'chetzio ha'acher, the second part of the nether, nishar chozok kibatchilo, is just as strong as it was originally, and the father will revoke that second half of the nether, and then the nether will be fully revoked. But that second half is not weakened in any way. It's totally still in existence. So, as we'll see in a moment in the Gemara, for example, if a person were to have, the wife were to have asked herself to eat two olives. So, when the husband goes and says, I made for the nether, so he is essentially permitted one of the olives, but the other olive is still forbidden. And then when the father goes and permits the rest of the nether, it's the second olive that's now permitted. So do we say that? Is that the way it works? That the first revocation from the husband removes, so to say, the isser on one of the olives, but the other olive is fully still osser through the nether. And then when the father goes and revokes the second part of the nether, that makes the second olive good. That's called megiz gayiz. Or do we say, oh, miklash kolish? Do we say, no, it was weakened. The lo nema, and the word should be denechtach chatzia nether. We don't say, like we just said, Megiz Gayiz, that one of the olives is going to be now permitted and the other olive is osur, 100%. No. Ella, ba'afaras oris, when the oris, her husband, is made for his share of the nether, what he did was he weakened it. Miklashu the kolishle kule nether. So both olives are still osur, but they're both a weakened type of osur. And then we'll explain in a moment what the nafkamin is. But again, to understand, megiz gayiz means that the nether is cut into half, so to say. Half of it is totally gone. The other half is 100% still there. Or do we say miklish kolish, that the nether is still 100% there, but in a weakened state. And again, as I pointed out already, the Ran says, udukoma boy libi oris, it asked this question on behalf of the oris going first, but who had din? Be'ah. It would have been the same exact din if the father had been the one that went first. The Mori just gives one of the two. So that is the question, and we're going to spend the whole shiur trying to come to this answer by quoting a brisa. But first, the Gemara now is going to explain what I just said outside. Now, as we mentioned many times, the Lashonos in Masechta Nedarim are a little bit unusual. So the Ran points out, Hechi Kolombaylon is the normal way that we would say, Kolomar Lemay Nafkamina. What's the practical difference whether we say Megis Gaius or Miklish Kolish? So the practical difference is, for example, Kigong Ninodra, betraying Zaysim. The woman said, I asked myself to have these two olives. Now, Bishama Oris, her husband hears this, the hateful law, and he says, no, that's going to be too difficult, that's Inui Nefesh, and he is made for her nether. So what is the status right now? She certainly can't eat either of the two olives, because there still is part of the nether there. Either the nether has been cut in half, Megis Gaius, but half of it is still there, 100%, or the whole thing has been weakened, but the whole thing is still there. So she certainly can't eat the olives. But then she goes, V'achaltun, and she goes and eats them. Now, the Rosh has the Girsa, that she actually has the gifts of v'achaltinun l'tarvayu. She eats both of them. And that's certainly what the Ran says as well, in the Ran saying, yiduin v'achaltinun l'tarvayu. So she is eating both of them. Now, what is the halachic problem here? Iyamrinun, if we say megis gayis, if you're going to tell me that it works based upon the principle of megis gayis, that in fact one of the olives has been made mutter by the hafaras nether of the husband, and the second olive will become mutter only when she gets the hafaras nether from her father, but now she ate both of them. Now, the Ran points out, she had to eat both of them, because otherwise we don't know for certain which one she ate. So, if she eats both of them, she definitely ate the one that was 100% asa to her. So, in this situation, lakia, she would get malchus for going and breaking her nether. So if we say Megis Gaius, then she'll get Malchus. But if we say Iyamrinun Miklosh Kolish, if we say that it's only a weakened form, so then it's not going to be something that she'll get Malchus for. Isura bi'almahu. As the Ran tells us, in this situation, Leko Elo Isura bi'alma. It's also, yes, she shouldn't have eaten it, but she won't get Malchus. So the nafgamina between the two opinions, Megis Gaius or Miklosh Kolish, would be whether she gets Malchus if she eats both of the olives in our case. Again, if it's Megis Gaius, so then there is 100% an issa of her eating this second olive. When she eats both olives, she definitely ate the olive. She ate the shear that you'd get Malchus for, and therefore she would get Malchus. But if you say Miklosh Kolish, so then she's only, quote, over an issa, but not over transgressing her nether, because the nether had been weakened. That is the question that they asked in the Beis Medrash. This is the Nafkamina. What is the answer? So we bring a long brisa to answer this question of my. And this brisa is going to have five component parts to it, and we'll spend the rest of this year, the little bit of the Amud Aleph here, the entire Amud Beis, till we get to the end of the brisa, and then we'll prove what the din is. So, the Gemara starts off, says, Toshma, we learn in the following brisa, this is a Tosefta, and it says, a Masai Amru, when did we in fact say that Meis HaBaal, if you have a case of a Naru Murasa, that she is only able to have her nedarim to be mefered by her husband and her father Bishutfis. So in this brisa it says, if Nebuch Meis HaBaal, if her husband passes away before the marriage was consummated, she's a Naru Murasa, they only had the first stage of marriage, her husband passes away, so Nisrokna Rishus La'av. So the status of the husband's being able to be made for her neder is passed over to the father. In other words, that right that the husband had to make for neder goes, so to say, back to her father. It's transferred over to her father. Nisrokna, it is transferred over, Rishus La'av. This Rishus that the husband had is transferred back to the father. Before, but she was an Aramurah, so it was totally the father. Here it gets transferred back to the father after the husband, Nebuch, passed away. So that's only true, a Masai. When do we say that if the husband died, that the father now has the sole rights to go be made for the neder? That's only true, Bizman, as long as Shelo Shama Habal Kodim Shiyomus, where the husband did not hear about the neder before he died, or alternatively, Osheshama, the Girsa we have is Vishasak, the box just switches around. Let's keep it with the Girsa that we have. Osheshama Vishasak, that the husband heard the nether and was silent. He didn't say anything about it. Osheshama, or he heard the nether and he was made for it, and then only afterwards, Umeis Bo Bayom, he died on the same day. So it's still within the Yom Shamo, it's still within the day that the father would have the right to go and be made for the neder. Again, you can only be made for neder on the day of Yom Shamo. So we're dealing over here with the husband didn't hear about it before he died. So then, he never was at Yom Shamo. Or that he heard about it and he was silent, but it's still that day, or he heard about it and he was actually made for it, and therefore it's still that day, and the father then will be transferred over the rights of that husband. When he passes away, it goes to the father, and the father can go and be made for the neder. In that situation, nisrokno rishus la'av. Zuhi sheshoninu. This is what the Braisa tells us, is mei sabal, if the husband passes away, nisrokno rishus la'av. In these three scenarios, the husband has not, so to say, established the nether as taking effect. He wasn't Makai in the nether, because it's still Biyom Shamo. Either he died before he heard it, so there is no Biyom Shamo, or he was Nefrid on Biyom Shamo, or he was silent and he died before the end of that Biyom Shamo. So therefore, the father still is able to go and nullify the nether. That right that the husband had is passed over to the father. That's case number one. Samach Ches Omid Beis, we turn to Samach Ches Omid Beis. Avo, im Shoma Bekim, but if the Baal had in fact heard the nether of his wife and he was Makayim it, so then the father won't be able to go and be Nefrid anymore. We don't pass that right back to the father after the husband died. Or, Oshashama Vishasak, Umes Biyom Shalachav, or the husband heard it, he was silent that day Biyom Shamo, so therefore that's as if he was Makayim the nether, and only afterwards he died the next day. In these scenarios, the father will not be given the right to go and be made for it. In this situation, it won't be nisrokno rishus la'av, because it's as if the husband, while he was still alive, was Makayim the nether, and then the father will never be able to go and be made for it. That's case number one. Bryce says, case number two, what happens if Shoma Avia the Hefer law? If the father had heard the nether and he was made for it, Biyom Shamo. However, v'lo hispik baal lishmoa, the husband didn't hear the nether, achimesa off, and then the father nebuch passed away. So the husband needs the shutvis of the father, but here the father has now passed away, even though the father had been made for the nether. In this situation, we don't pass over the father's rights, so to say, to the husband. Zuhi sheshoninu, mesa ab, lo nisrokno rishus labal. In this situation, we don't pass the rights of the father over to the husband. So the first two sections of the Braisa are telling us, under certain situations, we pass the rights of the husband over to the father, but we never pass over the rights of the father to the Baal. Now, let's look a little bit. We have a little bit of time. It's a short shiur today. Let's look in the Ran on Samach Ches Amud Aleph, Dibur HaMaskil Toshma, and we'll understand that first case better, and then we'll look in the Rush, and we'll understand the second case better. So the Ran starts off and he says, Dibur HaMaskil Toshma, he says, Ha Diktoni, that which we have to say, that the husband, Umeis Bo Bayom, Ashoma Vishosak, that's talking about where he heard it, and he was silent. In other words, he wasn't Makaimit, but it's still Biyom Shamo, so there still was time for him to be made for it, and then he died. The Dafka Bo Bayom, Dakasi Lo Kaimabal, only in a situation where it still was within that day, and he hasn't yet been Makaimit by default, because it's still Biyom Shamo. He still could be made for it, even though he certainly wasn't Makayimit, but by the end of the day, Biyom Shamo, it's automatically Makuyim, but here, it wasn't yet the end of the day. So in this situation, if the husband dies, Yochel Av L'Hofer, then the husband is dead, but the father is given that right, Nisrokna Rishus La'av. Albo Meis Biyom Shela Achrov, lo. But once he already dies the next day, then it's too late. Dor Kaime Baal, the husband has de facto been Mekayimit by not being made for it on the Yom Shamo. The Kivin Shalo Hefer, since he wasn't made for it on the Yom Shamo, Goliya Daite, it reveals his das, the Menach Nichole. It's as if he wanted the wife to have the nether. He's Mekayim the nether by default. Hilkach, in that situation, it doesn't pass over to the father. Ena Av Haba Mikocho Yochol Lohofer. Therefore, the father won't be able to be made for it because the husband was already Mekayimit. However, Abu Shama, if the Baal heard it, Bahafer, and he did revoke it, Afil Meis Biyom Shalachav, and then he subsequently dies at a later point in time, still the father will get that rights from the husband, Yochel Ahafer. Why? The Afagav, the Michi Mayisle Baal, bought Lahafer also, even though when the husband passes away, his Hafar is Batel, but the rights of that hafara are transferred over to the father. So when the father does now hear about the nether, he has to be made for it on his own behalf and on the behalf of the dead husband. So since the husband was already made for it, so then it isn't considered like he had been mekayim it, and therefore those rights do transfer over to the father. Even though his personal hafara goes away when he dies. But the rites, Domi Komokum, Goli Adaiti, it was revealed, it's clear, the Lo Nichale, Bau Nidra. He didn't want his wife to have the Nedra, he was made for it. And therefore, might have a little Mevet. What could he do? He did everything he could do. Never he died. So in this situation, the rites transfer over to the father. That's case one. But as the rush continues over here, on Samaches Omet Beis in the top rush, Ein Yochel Hafer, Kivin Shekai Moris, if the Oris was Makayim, that's it, end of the game, then the father will never be able to go get those rights back, so to say, and even if the husband passes away, we can't revoke that Kiyum, and the woman will be, unfortunately, have to fulfill her Ned. Now, let's analyze case number two, and let's look at the rush, Dibra Maschel, Shoma Avia. So it says, Ein Yochel Hafer Chalkel, in this situation, when the father passes away, we don't transfer those rights over to the husband. Why not? Tema, kivin shav hafer chalko, if the father had been made for his chalik, lomu lo yofer abal chalko achem osav. Why don't we let the husband be made for? After all, the father was made for it. So even though the father's hafara, so to say, is no longer there, let the rights be transferred over to the husband. Domrina leel, me saav, lo nisrokne rishus labal. But we said that that doesn't apply. If the father dies, we don't pass the rishus over to the baal. Hainu hecho, maybe that would be only true to lo hofer av, that maybe if the father wasn't made for it, then we don't transfer over the rights. But if the father was made for it, we should transfer over the rights. That we can't do. He doesn't inherit the rights of the father. But if the father, al hecho shekvar hofer av chelko, lomo yigara koach habal b'misas av shelo lo hofer chelko, why don't we say that the husband can still be made for in that situation? So the Rosh answers, V'yesh lomar, kivon de lo nigmara ha'afara b'chaya av, since the complete ha'afara wasn't done during the lifetime of the father, nisbat lo gam ha'afara sa'av. But the death of the father, that ha'afara is gone away. V'utzorach lo'afar ha'kol. And the husband will then have to be made for everything, and he can't do that. V'kein muchach mehod de'komar. And that's what we're pointing out over here. Shoma ha'bal v'ha'afar nisrok n'rishus la'av. When the husband heard the nether and was made for it, and then he dies, that does get transferred over to the father. The mashma, the yoresh rishus habal, the father does, so to say, inherit the right of the baal. V'tzorach l'hofer kol ha'neder, as he pointed out from the previous Ran, that the father would then have to be made for on his own behalf and on behalf of the husband. Midelo kamar, made for av chelko, almon is batla hafara sa'orus, kivin shelo nigro kol hafara b'yomav. So we see that this works only via the inheritance principle. So hachanami, in this case, so here too, when the father is the one that passes away, that hafar is gone. But the husband doesn't have the power to inherit the father in this situation, and therefore there is no ability to be made for the nether. This is the understanding that we have over here of case one and case two. The husband, his death, those rights sometimes are transferred over to the father, but the father, even though he was made for, his rights, when he dies, are never transferred over to the husband. That's case one and case two in the Braisa. Case three in the Braisa goes as follows. Shoma balo v'hefer lo, if the husband heard about the wife making a neder, and he's made for the neder, but v'lo hispika av lishmova achme sabal, and the father didn't hear it, but the husband has already died. Now, zuhi shishaninu, this is exactly the case. It's very similar to case one. Zuhi shishaninu, me sabal nisroknu rishus la'av. In this situation, just like in case one, the rights, so to say, of the husband, who's now Nebuch passed away, go to the father. And the Rosh explains what's the difference between this and case one. And Dibra Maschel and the Rosh Shoma Habal, V'hefer lo, V'lo hispika av lishmo ad shemes habal, Zuhi shishanino mes habal nisroknu v'shus l'av. So he says this isn't the case one, because the Ime Reish, if it was case one, Ema, I would have said, the case one only applies, hanimili hecho dishoma b'chaye habal, only when the father heard in the lifetime of the baal, v'hava roi lohofer neder zeh b'chaye habal, and the father could have been made for the neder, it would still be yom shomo, and then the husband passed away, hilcha chishemeis, if the husband passed away, only in that scenario, yoresh ez zechuso, since the father had the opportunity to be made for, only in that situation, would he be able to inherit the rights of the husband when he passes away, and the father would be able to be made for on his behalf and on behalf of the husband. Therefore, you need this case here, komash v'lon, tafilu lo shoma av, as the case was, lo hispiko av lishmoa, even when the father did not hear of the nether, but the husband was made for it, and the husband passed away. So even though lo shama ha'ab b'chayabal, nevertheless nisrokna l'rishuso, he does in fact inherit the rights of the husband in this case as well. So case one and case three are very, very similar. Both of them, the father inherits the rights of the husband, and there's a slight difference between the two cases in terms of whether the husband died before the father had the chance to hear the neder, as in this case, case three, or he already had heard the neder, just hadn't had a chance yet to be made for it, as was case one. And we're in the fourth section of the Braisa, getting to the end of our Braisa, and to answer finally our question from the beginning of the shir, so we go Mei Yizgayiz or Miklush Kolish. So the fourth part of the Braisa goes as follows: Shama Bala the Hefer Law. The husband hears the neder, Biom Shamo, he's made for it, the Lo Hispiko Av Lishmoa Ad Shemeis. And here, the father didn't have an opportunity to hear the neder, and then Nebuchadnezzar passed away. So in this situation, Ein HaBal Yochol LaHofer, the rights of the father aren't transferred over. They don't inherit it, so to say, get inherited by the husband, and therefore She'ein HaBal Mefer Ela Bishutvis, and therefore the husband isn't able to be made for it, even though he had made for it already. His hafara is only half of a hafara, and it doesn't count because the father didn't go and be made for it. Either father's dead, never heard the neder. Even in this situation, we don't say that the husband is able to be made for the neder. He doesn't get the rights from the father to go be fully made for the neder. What's the chiddush over here? This sounds exactly like case number two, the second section of the braisa. So we look in the last rush on this staff. Dibra Masku Shom HaBal V'Hofer Lo V'Lo Hispeko Av L'Shmoa Ashmeisa Av. So Ein HaBal Yochel L'Hofer She'Ein HaBal Mefer El B'Shutvis. So the Chiddush over here is the Komash Malon HaChbava. This section, the Lo Tema, don't think the Hod Demirim, that which we said before, Lo Nisrok No Rishus L'Baal, that the father's rights don't transfer over, they're not inherited by the husband. Don't think that that's only Hani Mili Hecha the Lo Shoma B'Chayyo Av. But that was only talking about where the father didn't hear it. And that's why it's not transferred over to the husband. However, but if the father did hear it, and he was capable of going and nullifying the neder, he just hadn't yet done so. So then, maybe in that day, in that situation, in Mesa'av, Yofer HaKol, maybe the husband would be able to go and be made for it. So Kamash Bulan, for this fourth section of the Braisa, comes to teach us, no, even in this scenario, they're not about made for it, no matter what, that the husband is incapable of being made for the neder by himself. He requires the shutfus of the father, whether the father heard the neder or whether the father didn't hear the neder. And afogad lo yiroi lomar b'kan nisrok d'mishus l'bal. And you might have thought that in this scenario with the husband should be able to go be made for the neder because the father never heard the neder, so the rights should all be on the husband. The answer is no, even here it's not. That's why before we had that the husband didn't inherit the rights of the father. And that's why it has to tell us in this scenario as well that the Baal can't do it without Shutvah. So whether the father heard the neder in his lifetime or whether the father did not hear the neder in his lifetime, the husband doesn't have the rights of the father, and the husband cannot be made for the neder except Bishutvah. And here there is no Shutvah. Nebuch, the father passed away, so the neder cannot be Mufar. And now we turn to Samach Tes Omer Aleph, and we finally get to the end of this long braisa with the fifth and final section. Shama Aviha Vehefrala. The father, in fact, heard the neder, Biom Shamo, he's made for it. However, Velo Hispikabal Lishmoa, but the husband didn't have an opportunity to hear the neder, Ad Shemes, until the husband passed away. And in this situation, Chozer Av Umefer Chelko Shobal. In this situation, the husband's rights are transferred over to the father, and chozer ha'av umay for chalko shabal, and he has to go back and be made for the chalik of the baal. Now, what exactly does this mean, chozer ha'av? So if you look in the top Ran, so the Ran tells us, hi diktoni chozer, why do we use the terminology over here, chozer? What does that mean? Lo she yachzor lohofer ma shohofer kvar. He doesn't have to go and repeat what he was made for already, according to the Ran. That he was made for. His half he was already made for. And why do we need this fifth section to come to teach us? Chozer, the word chozer here means mishum shekvar hofer chelko va'achshel chozer umefer chelko shabal. So now he has to go and just be made for the chelik of the husband. The husband died, didn't hear the neder. So now the father just has to use the rights that he got, so to say, that he inherited the husband, and use that rights that he has to go to be made for the rest of the nether. He was already made for his half. Now he's using the half that he inherited from the husband, and he's made for that. And that's enough. He doesn't have to go back. He doesn't have to remake for the chelik that he was made for himself. So there are two chelakim over here, so to say, the father and the husband. The father already was made for his own chelik. Now that the husband died, so the father has to go and be made for that chelik, but not to remake for his chelik. And the Ran ends and concludes, Mishum tekevan de'iu lo mei, since the father was still alive, even though the husband died, lo bot lafor da, the original lafor that the father did is not bato. That's how the Ran understands this. And the Rush just says one or two things. In the top Rush, he says, Hach lo shamina mimesha. We wouldn't have learned this from the first sections, from sections 1 or 3. The Havamina, I might have said, the Kivan dehofer ab chayabal. I might have said that since the father was made for during the lifetime of the husband, dehofer ab chayabal, the lo hutra ba'osu hafara, and that hafara didn't fully work because he needed the hafara of the baal. Shuvlo moil hafaroso. Maybe I might have thought that it wouldn't work if he's mefer. The lo motzinu shtei hafaros bishachar, because we don't find that one person makes two hafaros over here. Therefore, kamashlo, and that's the chiddush of this fifth and final section of the brisa. Along comes now the conclusion of this brisa. Amar Rabbi Nosson, we're going to answer a question. Again, remind ourselves, the original question they asked the base message was, how do we view the hafara of the first of the two? The husband was made for first. How do we view his hafara? Do we say it's megis gaiz or miklish kolish? So Amar Rabbi Nosson says, Heinein divrei Beis Shammai. These are the words of Beis Shammai. Everything that we read till now are the words of Beis Shammai. As the Ran tells us, the kosavre, the yochol ha'av lohofer b'chi ha'gavda. In this situation, the father has the rights to be made for in sections 1, 3, and 5, as we had explained. U'ba'afar es chelko shobal. And the chelik of the baal in this last case is all he had to do. Mishum dahafara da'av, kiven de'lo meis lo avtilo lo. So in case number 5, we clearly see that the husband's original hafara worked, and now all he has to do the hafara of the husband after the husband dies. These are the words of Beis Shammai, Rabbi Nosson tells us. Beis Hillel omrim ein yochol lohofer. On the other hand, Beis Hillel says, no, the husband death, that ruins it. There's no way that the father can go be made for in this fifth case. As we see in the Ran, Diba Masel, Beisil, Omer, En Yochol, Hofer, Klau, Vafilu, Chozu, Mefil, Chelko, Vachelik, Abal. According to Beisil, even if the father now goes a re-hafara on his original hafara for himself, and he does the hafara on behalf of the Baal, who's dead, it doesn't work. According to Beisil, it doesn't work. What's the reasoning over here? Mishum the Lebei Shammai, according to Beis Shammai. Here we get to finally the answer. The Lebei Shammai megis gaius. We view it as each one basically does half of the hafara, a full half of the hafara. So in the case of the two olives, it's as if Beis Shammai's opinion is that the husband did hafara on one of the olives, and the father will ultimately do the hafara on the other olive. Each of them does 100% of their hafara, which is 50% of the total hafara. It's a complete hafara. So that's Beis Shammai's opinion. Megis gaiz. Kisha hofer ha'av t'chila, and when the father originally did his 50%, hofer chelko bilvad, he did 100% of his 50%. He totally abrogated the nether from his perspective. The chelik ha'bal no nigra klal, that didn't impact the chelik of the husband at all. El adayin hukayim legamre, that 50% that the husband has to be made for, 100% of that is still there. V'choshifu lo risho la'ov. And according to Rabbi Nosson, this is the opinion of Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai holds that that is something significant that can be sent to the father after the husband's death. The father, so to say, inherits that choshiva amount from the dead husband. However, Beis Hillel holds the Beis Hillel miklish kolish. They say the entire neder was just weakened by the father's original hafara. Kishahofer al chelko, when the father went and was made for his chelik, so he was made for the entire neder to weaken it. Nigra chelko shobal, that also weakens the chelik of the husband. making it no longer something substantive that could be given over to the father, to can be inherited over to the father upon the death of the Baal. The kivan di av akati isay hafara di day, since the father still, so to say, has partially the hafara in his possession, it was just weakened. Lo bat lalo, the neder is not nullified from the father's point of view. Vakati nidra beklishu sa koi, and the neder still is existing in its weakened state. Vakivan de kolishlei, and since it's weakened, chelko shobal lo motzi mofer av, it's too weak, so to say, to be transferred from now the dead husband to the father, and the father can't be made for it, and the neder remains in its weakened state. Mi, however, the Ran concludes, ha nimili bishalonis arsa li acher. That, however, is only talking about a case where she didn't get remarried again after her husband dies. Avul nis'aris liacher bo bayom, if she's in fact getting married to someone else that very day, don't ask why or how, avia ubalho achron mefirin nidorea. Then, somewhat paradoxically, the new husband and now the father again can go be made for her neder together b'shutvas, as we will learn in Mirtz Hashem in the Gemara on Daf Ayin Aleph Omer Aleph. Ukomoshin ifrusho Allah, Tahi Bisokadai Bisati Dishmai, as we will Mirtz Hashem explain over there. Now, Hadinhu Perusha Tahi Shmaisa, this is the proper way to understand this halacha. Visamcha Daitin Ilavei, the Chazin Lerabon and Tuva Mile, the Lon Hiri, the Lon Riri Lon. This is the right way to understand this, although I've seen many others understand it in a different way, and we don't have to be concerned about what they wrote. Ran is saying very strongly, his pshat over here is the crap pshat, and ignore any other pshatim. Back to the Gemara, we finally conclude our question. Shema mina, we see from here, lebe shama megiz gayiz, ulebe silo miklash kolish, and we've answered the question, shema mina, we can see the answer, how we hold over here. It's the opinion of Beishamay that says Megiz Gaiz, and it's the opinion of Beis Hillel that says Miklash Kolish, and we, of course, always pass like Beis Hillel in the setting of Machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beishamay, except for a number of exceptions. Throughout Shas, with this we conclude today's share.